big story.
Edward, what are you doing here? The judge said...
I know what the judge said, but I'm still your husband.
What do you want here?
I came for my painter.
The judge said you couldn't come here.
Myrtle, I'm warning you, don't make a scene.
Don't you touch that painting.
Get out of my way.
Don't you touch that painting. You can't help it.
Let go of me. I warn you.
My eyes. My eyes. What did you do to me? Edward.
Cleveland, Ohio. The stories that actually happened, plus Bergen's story as he lived it. You are on the criminal court beat in July, Bus Bergen. Reporter for the Cleveland Press. It's hot work pounding the grimy marble floors, sifting the routine violence and misery back through the phone to the bored rewrite man at the press. When the time comes to check back at the office, you hoist your 5 feet on your desk and kill a half hour checking the early editions to see if they spell the names right in your story. But today, you only get as far as the box scores on the front page.
Hey, Bergen!
Yeah!
Hey, Clark, get the heels on the floor.
And have the blood rush out of my head?
Not on your life.
Look, I got a call in from Lakewood. Fight between a husband and wife.
May the best man win.
It's a good address, maybe a story in it.
Oh, look, hey, Wiley, I put in a hot day chasing bail bond runners.
All right, come on, come on, up. We got 40 minutes till the stock edition.
Oh.
Grab a company car and get out there.
When are they going to get wall-to-wall carpeting at the courthouse?
Come on, come on, move. This isn't a handset weekly. You got 40 minutes of deadline. Now get out there and wrap it up.
Forty minutes when they lock up the farms and the presses roll with the Dow Jones closing stock averages and the bulk stores complete to the top of the third. You grab a company coupe and push it out to the manicured lawn neighborhood in Lakewood, Ohio. There's a squad car parked in the gravel turnaround, and Sergeant Al Gorlick of the Lakewood Police is holding the forehead of a thin kid in a gray sweatshirt and corduroy pants. The kid is sick. Good, he's sick.
How about it, Sergeant? I got a half hour of the stock edition.
That's all I know, Bergen.
Easy, kid.
I'm all right. No, I think.
What happened to the kid?
He got a lung full.
I won't be able to go to class tonight. As a captain, I won't be able to go.
All right, son, I got you. You found Mrs. Peters?
She's lying there. Not often. No. How am I going to study for my test? I go tonight.
Sure. Look, there was a fight, right?
Mrs. Peters was shouting at Mr. Peters, and when she screamed and he came running up, then I went in and... It smelled off.
What smelled?
Gas.
Gas? What gas?
Rat poison. It was all over the room. He had it in the paper bag. The crystals broke and gave off poison gas.
Where's Mrs. Peters now?
Lakewood Hospital. Hey, where are you going?
The telephone.
Don't you want to look at the house?
No time. I've got 28 minutes of deadline.
28 minutes of the deadline. You haven't got time for color, for background, for explanation. Just a raw story in unshaded black and white, poured back over the phones of the press.
P as in Paul, E-T-E-R-S, Peters. Manufacturer. You've seen his picture in the business section. Legally separated. Fight. Big fight. He tears out the door. A college kid, Phillips 1L, L-E-V-I-N, finds her out cold. Rat poison all over the room.
Okay. Nice touch, rat poison.
I'm going over to the hospital to check Mrs. Peters.
All the story for upcoming. Got 23 minutes
of deadline. Outside the hospital room, there's a sergeant on guard. His face is nervously as an expectant father.
You can almost hear the seconds ticking away at the deadline.
Can't I even get a statement from you, Sergeant?
What do you want me to tell you? I'm no doctor.
They won't even let me see her. My own flesh and blood.
You're related to Mrs. Peters?
She's my sister. My name is Lassiter from Painesville.
Oh, two S's in Lassiter?
I warned Myrtle Bryce in her own living room. I told her a man that would do the things Edward Peters did had evil written right on his forehead in letters of fire.
Uh-huh.
I warned her right in her own living room. Myrtle,
what
I said...
things did Peters do?
Other women. He was always running around...
Excuse me. Doctor, I'm Bus Bergen of the press. What's the story on that gas?
There's a patent rat poison. The crystals on her neck and face when they brought her in.
Oh, that's good, huh?
I've seen gas cases before as police surgeon. In my opinion, there must have been enough loose to fumigate the whole house.
Well, can I talk to her now?
Talk to her? That was cyanide gas. She's dead.
Mrs. Peters died 4 minutes ago. Cyanide gas. Got that, Wiley?
Right. Now wrap it up and you're on the front page.
Well, what do you mean, wrap it up? What more do you want?
The lead on the killer. And if you get me Peters arrest, I'll hold deadline.
Hey, listen, he could be halfway out in Lake Erie swimming for Canada by now.
Sure, sure. Paul Werfen blames his tools.
Why, you...
Come on, bus, tie it all up in a pretty pink package. You got 15...
Hey, Wiley, Wiley, hold the line.
You kidding? Bus, get moving.
Hold the line, Wiley, and get a photographer out here.
Where?
City Hospital.
Crazy, we can't run pictures of
the... I know, but you can run pictures of her husband, can't you? He's coming down the hall now. Now, hold the line. Can I help you?
Oh, yes, if you'll be so kind. I'm Edward Peters.
Yeah, I've seen your picture.
Oh?
I'm looking for room 304.
304, it's right around the corner.
You're looking for someone special?
My wife. I called the house, and they told me that she'd had a slight accident.
They told you?
Yes, I thought I'd drop over, and... Well, thank you very much.
Tell me about that slight accident.
I beg your pardon.
I'm Bus Bergen of the Cleveland Press.
A reporter?
Well, I'm sure the press wouldn't be interested in a minor household accident.
You don't want to make a statement?
I employ a public relations counsel who handles all of my contacts with the press. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Oh, no, Mr. Peters. This is one story that we can't run from a mimeograph handout.
What are you talking about?
Rat poison, cyanide gas.
Are you crazy?
Get out of my way, young man. I want to see my wife.
You wait, Mr.
Hey,
Peters.
Peters. Oh, come here, sir. What's going on? Sergeant, I insist
you're
on... You're
Edward Peters?
Well, of course I met with Peters.
Want to make a statement about what happened at your house this afternoon?
Oh, of course.
There was an argument between my wife and myself. I hit her with a bag of rat poison. Took my pain.
Let me at that.
All right, Peters, I'm arresting you for the murder of... Wiley, you still there?
What's going on?
Shut up and take this. Lakewood Police Sergeant Al Gorlick arrested Edward Peters for the murder of his wife Myrtle at City Hospital outside the room in which the victim's body lay.
You stringing me?
He came walking in here like a cat eating canary pie. It's a lead pipe cinch, Wiley. He's been out playing the field, had a fight with his wife, and slugged her with the rat poison. Then figured he could beat the rat by hollering accident. This one's cold turkey, open and shut all the way, wrapped up for the socks in 40 minutes. Let the morning paper have the trimming. You've got the break story, and that's what counts. You work fast, but sometimes it can be too fast. Sometimes you chase a headline down the road so fast, you overlook the small telltale signs that shout a warning to the reporter. Slow up. Take a second look. Think. With a deadline hanging over you, you'll wrap up a story in a neat, quick package. And when you tear off the pretty ribbon and the party wrapping, the story isn't there at all. Nail the headline down, Bus Bergen. Charged industrialist with poison slaying of Lakewood wife. The who, what, where, when, and how, the lead paragraph, is complete. And now you can take your time. It was open and shut. Cardboard characters on a black and white setting. And now you want to fill in the gray.
I can give you 5 minutes, Mr. Bergen.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Greetings, Peters.
Huh? Oh, you're the reporter, aren't you? I thought maybe you might have a statement to make.
I saw your article, Bergen. You've got it all wrong.
You're making a terrible mistake.
I quoted the district attorney, the coroner, and your own confession.
You don't understand. That wasn't a confession.
I hit her with a bag of rat poison and took my painting. Now, what do you call it?
But I meant...
Never mind. Look, Mr. Peters, this is your chance to tell your side of the story.
I'm afraid I'd better tell my side of the story in court, Mr. Bergen.
You want to cooperate, don't you? You want to break in the papers?
Mr. Bergen, this whole affair is a gross misunderstanding. I have a very expensive and competent lawyer on retainer, and I think he is best qualified to look after my interests.
Look, Peters, let me give you a friendly tip. This is a big story. The wire services have it already. You'll probably be in jail for several months before the trial is over, and we'll have to keep your case alive all that time.
Isn't that your problem?
Sure, sure. Every paper in town will have to have angles on you. Do you know what angles mean? How'd you get along with your wife? Details on your business. There are reporters around who won't stop there. They'll dig up scandal, other women, gossip. Now, nobody wants that. This is your chance to give me the straight story.
My lawyers are Delahunty and Cole. They'll issue any statement. That's all, Mr. Bergen. Goodbye.
You've covered 100 murders. You've seen killers you liked, and some you pitied, and some you were indifferent to. But this one, you hate.
I'll tell you, Wiley, he got my goat.
In a cell, a first-degree rap on him on 3 counts. Premeditated, murder in commission of a burglary, and murder by cyanide gas. And he's cool as peeled cucumber. I've got expensive lawyering. I just bet he does.
You got a follow-up color piece, Buzz?
Not yet. I've seen him before, Wiley. A murderer who thinks he can buy an acquittal with a blank check.
You had 40 minutes to wrap up this story, and now you go back to pick up the pieces. Painfully, over the next 2 weeks, you reconstruct the life of Edward and Myrtle Peters. From the flat stereotype of the headlines, you see a man emerge in 3 dimensions.
You heard them fighting, Philip?
Sure, Mr. Bergen. I was waiting for the bus. I go to night school at Western Reserve. I used to work for Mr. Peters at the house, trimming the hedge and stuff. You know, it was a funny thing. After they were separated, I used to see him standing across the street. Didn't go in. Sometimes he'd wait until it was dark. He didn't look mad at all. Just kind of sad, like he wished it hadn't happened.
You warned your sister against her husband, Mrs. Lassiter?
I never trusted Edward, Mr. Bergen. I told Myrtle she shouldn't listen to her sister. But she was dazzled, blinded by the wealth of evil. Beware of Greek-staring gifts, I always told her. Never trusted him after he paid for my husband's kidneys. Why should he pay for his operation? That's what I told my husband. Just trying to make a beholden to him. Just don't trust a man like that.
I promise you, it's off the record.
Look, Bergen, you can't break this if it comes out in the trial. But the wife had a private operator tailing Peters for 10 years. They were looking for divorce evidence. But you know, it's a funny thing. He had 500... Even after the separation, he kept it in her name. Slowly, the picture fills in. It appears to be open and shut. But now you see the complications fogging your nice, clear story. You write the background, you illustrate it with pictures of Peter's country place. You listen as Wiley reads it.
Boy, what a layout. Arabian horses, swimming pools, shooting galleries, and a concrete bomb shelter. And then there's bomb shelter won't save them now.
Hey, that's an angle.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of angles, Wiley. How about people?
What's the matter, Buzz? You feeling sorry for the guy?
No. You can't feel sorry for him. He's too calm, too cool. He sits in that jail and runs his business from a cell. Won't talk to me or any other reporter. And his lawyer just brushes lint off a $200 suit and clears his throat.
So what's eating you? You're riding nice and nasty, but your heart ain't in it. Getting mixed up, Wiley. I thought I had it clear, but the whole picture's getting foggy. Well, cheer up, trousers on tomorrow, and you can nail Peter to the wall. That's what you want, isn't it? Sure, sure, that's what I want. Wiley, I'm going down to the jail and talk to Peters again. Okay, Bergen, you to a fire. Thanks, Sergeant. Good morning, Mr. Peters. Okay, okay. Maybe I've got this coming.
My attorney has shown me your articles, Mr. Bergen. He advises me that, unfortunately, I have no legal recourse against him.
Yeah, we've got a good lawyer, too. I want to talk to you, Mr. Peters. I've been on this case from the beginning. They pinned the medal on me down in the city room for wrapping it all up in 40 minutes. But, you know, I think maybe I'd have done better to run out of dimes before I phoned in the story.
I don't know what you mean, Mr. Bergen, and I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, maybe you should be. I've been talking to people about you. That Levin kid next door and your sister-in-law.
I'm not interested in what she has to say.
Sure, she hates you inside. But she told me you paid for her husband's operation. She works at the plant, doesn't she? And the State Employment Service told me you hired parolees to give him a break.
My business practice is my own concern.
Yeah, but it interests me. Mr. Peters, on the outside, you're a stuffed shirt. I would have seen you executed cheerfully. But maybe that stuffing isn't all hay. The wife is dead.
Please, Mr. Bergen.
You still loved her, didn't you? Even after the separation. Still got your insurance under her name. You voluntarily doubled the amount awarded her by the court.
I protest, Mr. Bergen. My private life is my own affair.
You're stubborn, aren't you?
You're stuffy and you're stubborn.
But you've got something underneath.
I'm not interested in your opinion, Jimmy.
I don't blame you. But I've got to live with myself. I'll see you in the courtroom, Mr. Peters.
The trial begins. You take your place at the press table with the boys from the locals and the wire servicemen. You watch Edward Peters across the courtroom. On the surface, he's arrogant, assured, and yet you know he's more than that. You look beneath the surface now to see a man. But day by day, the state builds the perfect case.
They were fighting. I could hear them way out on the front lawn. There were some screams, and then he came running
out. Time to be arrested. He told me I hit her with a bag of rat poison and took my painting. He signed that statement down at the state house.
In my opinion, there must have been enough cyanide gas liberated to fumigate the three-story house.
In an unused jury room, the long table is crowded with temporary phones. The trial is in its closing days when you sneak out to file a story.
Oh, Wiley.
Go ahead, Buck. Shoot.
Defense witnesses are claiming the whole rat poison business was an accident. Peter said he was taking it out to his country place. Claims he only bought it to kill some rats in the cellar. They claim Mrs. Peters died of a heart attack. If they could prove that she wasn't actually killed by the gas, Peters might beat this.
Can they prove it?
They haven't a chance. The jury can practically smell that rat poison in the courtroom. The police sergeant's testimony nailed the lid on the coffin.
Good, good. Is there a recess now?
No, that last little woman's on the stand.
Oh, yeah, I see it coming in on the service ticket.
Wiley, I'm going out to Peters' house.
No, are you crazy?
I'm worried. Look, I ran through this story like a knife through butter. It was too fast, Wiley.
What are you worried about? Get back in that courtroom. We need your eyewitness stuff.
Send another boy, Wiley. I'm going to start all over and cover this story right.
You're crazy. You're covering the trial.
Who's the ticker? Look, that's a man sitting across the courtroom. I thought for a while it was a headline.
Listen, Bergen, you're nuts. Now get back in that courtroom. Bob, you there?
Bye, Wiley.
You push the company coop out to Lakewood. This may cost your job, but this time you're going to cover it right. You're going to get the story of people, not headlines in black and white. Out at the Peters house, you find Philip Levin on the lawn, playing with a brown and white Parker son.
Okay, go on. Get the ball. Go.
Hello, Philip.
Oh, hi, Mr. Bergen. I saw you at the court.
Yeah. I want to talk to you, Philip.
Well, you already
did. Yeah, I know, but this time I kind of want to take it easy. You said you used to see Mr. Peters standing across the street at night.
Sure, lots of times.
After the separation?
Yeah. Funny, isn't it? Mm. That a girl, nice. Come on, give me the ball. Come on. Okay, go.
Did he look mad?
Mr. Peters?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. You know, Mr. Bergen, I don't think Mr. Peters wanted that separation.
No?
I think he still loves it. Now, here she comes. Good girl.
A nice cocker spaniel. Your dog?
Shooting? Oh, no. She was Mrs. Peters. I'm just taking care of her. Down, girl. Yeah.
You'd think the dog would know. I mean, she's so happy. Hey, get off my pants.
Oh, she knows, all right. You should have seen her the day of the murder, growling and snapping.
Mm, took it hard, huh?
Yeah. The policeman couldn't get her away from Mrs. Peters. Shooty wouldn't let him close enough to even touch her.
The dog was in the house?
Sure, she was in the house all the time. Weren't you, Trudy? Yeah.
This dog was in the room all the time? She's still alive, isn't she?
You're alive, aren't you, Trudy?
Well, I'm right over it. I thought I had the story nailed down in 40 minutes, and I missed it by a mile. Come on, Trudy. You're coming with me.
Well, where are you going, Mr. Bergen?
Trudy and I are going for a ride. You crazy bus. You can't smuggle a dog into that courtroom. I've got him this far, haven't I, Wiley? Quiet, Trudy. You want to be held in contempt? Hey, look, here's a defense attorney. Go ahead, bus. Make your pitch.
Oh, Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen.
I'm sorry. I am very busy.
Mr. Allen, this is very important. Look, court reconvenes in 5 minutes. Wait a minute.
Oh, you're the National Press, aren't you?
Yeah, look, this will only take...
Trudy, is that a dog under your coat?
It's your star witness, Mr. Allen. Trudy was in the room when Mrs. Peters got her lung full of gas.
You sure about that?
I can get you the witnesses. Look, state claims there was enough cyanide loose to kill Mrs. Peters. Trudy only weighs about 10 pounds. If the state is right, she should be cold as a mackerel.
Well, Mrs. Peters couldn't have died from the cyanide.
This is the evidence you need to prove she died of a heart attack.
All right, Bergen, you keep that dog here. I'm going to move for an adjournment. This is all we need.
And don't lose that dog.
Is this sure?
I checked with the state toxicologist. They can't convict now.
Well, why didn't that cop mention the dog on the stand?
I asked him. He said nobody asked me. They would have convicted an innocent man.
I thought you didn't like Peters.
I didn't. That's what threw me off. I rushed that story through in 40 minutes. I let myself be fooled by my own neat black and white headlines. I didn't have time to find out what really happened. But I can sure write this story now, Wiley. The whole story. And Trudy, we'll illustrate it with your picture on page one.
Now we read you that telegram from Buzz Bergen of the Cleveland Press.
When defense attorney introduced evidence of small dog that survived the gas, experts testified it would be impossible for gas to have been the cause of death. There was no evidence to prove premeditation. Jury brought in verdict of not guilty. Edward Peters was released and returned to his manufacturing business.
And so ends another big story. In order to protect the names of people actually involved in tonight's authentic big story, the names of all characters in the dramatization were changed, with the exception of the newspaper reporter. Oh,